It's been several years since I left KUAF to head to graduate school in Kentucky. Since moving, I obtained my master's degree in folk studies, and while there, I learned how to channel my love for the study of people and the places they call home into a somewhat cohesive sense of purpose. I began to focus my work at the intersection of folklife studies, sustainability, and human rights issues. I prepared to begin looking for jobs, excited to see where our new life would lead. But life is full of circles, right? In postgraduate school, we found ourselves moving back to my childhood home in a small town in central Arkansas to take care of my dying mother. Less than a year after her death, I gave birth to our twin sons. Amid the grief of losing my mother and the joy of giving birth, these last few years have given me the opportunity to rediscover the community I call home. Both sides of my family have lived in Yell County, Arkansas for generations. I grew up in Dardanelle, right on the Arkansas River, across the water from the larger town, relatively speaking, of Russellville. My mother was from nearby Carden Bottoms, the cotton farming area, and my father was from Harkey's Valley, Shaquilla area, where men logged in the forest. Both places that, these days, exist mostly in the memories and stories of those who once lived there. As a folklorist, I'm curious about the living culture of the area, the things people make, do, share, remember, and discuss that are the pulse of the region. I'm intrigued by the diversity of people and the land we all share. My avocation as a folklorist aside, as a community member, I'm interested in how the area influenced and is still influencing me, how it helped to create my beautiful mother and the rest of my family, either living or passed away, who formed the core of my childhood world. I'm curious about how the past influences the present and how the decisions of the present, for better or for worse, will shape the future. I wonder how this place, the land, the people, and most importantly, the interaction between the two, will influence my sons. And how will my sons and the generation that they are a part of influence the land in the future? So I'll be writing about things that are happening where I'm from, everyday people I know and meet, in the everyday places where we all live, work, communicate, and share. And I'll be learning too, because as I've discovered in recent years, there's always more to learn about the places we call home. So I'm going to start out by telling you about something that's going on in the nearby big city of Russellville.
But look how pretty they all turned out different.
Russellville is situated on the Arkansas River and has an active historic downtown populated with several local businesses, many of which have been there for decades. One of the fairly new businesses is the yarn store Knit Two Together. I wandered in the store a few months ago as a beginning knitter in search of local yarn. It's beautiful inside. The walls are lined floor to ceiling with brightly colored natural fiber yarns. And you just want to reach out and touch everything. The textures range from thick, chunky, and fluffy yarns to delicate, thin strands of lacy silk.
First started knitting, you know, of course, the only thing I knew about was Walmart or whatever, which are, you know, basically acrylic yarns. And, you know, I thought that was a big world of yarn.
That's store owner Stephanie Bates. Inspired by the world of natural fibers, she started the business in 2008.
As soon as I went into a real yarn shop and felt alpaca and silk and, you know, bamboo and different fibers that are not acrylic, it was just like a whole new world.
A knitter herself, Bates provides lessons for beginning knitters or those wanting to increase their skills and move on to more advanced projects. But the store is more than just a place to learn how to knit and buy hard-to-find yarn. It's a community.
I've had a really great group of people that come every Tuesday. I have a regular group that comes on Fridays. I have kind of a regular group that comes on Saturdays. And
pretty much any time of the day, you can go in and there'll be people sitting around the large kitchen table near the center of the store, working on projects ranging from elegant scarves to children's dolls. Tuesday nights, also known as Knit Night, bring out a large group.
It's way better than TV.
Well, it makes a crummy movie much better.
Oh, absolutely.
When I get there, almost every chair at the large table is occupied, and knitters spill out into the comfy circle of chairs to the left. They pull a chair up for me at the table, and I go around the circle and ask them how they learned their craft. We'll begin with Caroline Hargis.
I was my aunt. Gave us some yarn and needles and showed us how to knit and purl and put us in a room and told us not to come out. It was during the polio epidemic. And we weren't allowed to leave the grounds, you know. So she did all sorts of things to keep us from driving her crazy, probably.
Shirley Hartman didn't learn from one of her family members, but instead one of her school teachers.
Like a homeroom teacher. And so the class of boys and girls, we said, oh, that's so fascinating. And she said, get some needles and yarn and I'll teach you.
And then as a college student, she began hanging out at a yarn store in her native Hot Springs, where she began to learn how to make sweaters.
I went there and she helped me to knit, and I worked 2 years and I made a sweater for my then boyfriend, which is now my husband of 44 years. But anyhow, I worked 2 years on making him this sweater that looks like a Mr. Rogers neighborhood sweater. And at first he said it was too big because he was skinny, and then later he was too fat. But I still have that sweater because I invested 2 years in it.
Ben Tucker, the only man in the group, says that he learned from his mother when he was around 8 years old.
And I'm very ADD, so this is a perfect thing for me to do while I'm watching football or something, because I can't really sit still. So it gives me something to do to keep my mind going two different directions.
I was going to say that.
So.
What's most striking about this group of knitters is the diversity in ages. Some are retirees with grandchildren. Some are in their 20s and 30s with young children at home. And then there's every other age in between. Some have been knitting since childhood, and others have only recently learned. For owner Stephanie Bates, this is one of the most important aspects of the knitting community.
There's a lot, I think there's a bigger trend of people coming in, you know, wanting to bring that back, you know, because I have a lot of people that come in, they're like, well, I learned when I was little, but you know, I've kind of forgotten, and I really would like to learn because my grandmother passed away, or, you know what I mean? Like the lost art that they're trying to kind of get a hold of again.
In our conversation, several of the women mentioned their mothers or grandmothers. Some even spoke of teaching their sons and daughters so that the craft will stay in the family. For Caroline Hargis, knitting was a part of her childhood landscape.
And I grew up in a little mountain town in North Carolina, and that's what people did. I mean, you didn't sit down for television or anything unless you had something in your hands, like peas to shell or apples to cut or knitting in the winter when there wasn't anything to prepare.
Like so many traditional art forms, knitting and crocheting can help people connect with former generations, creating continuity between the past, present, and future. For many knitters, it also provides a way to center and calm themselves while simultaneously providing the benefit of productivity and gift-giving. Lori Bernard explains.
I think it helps wind down. For me, because I have a school-age child, just kind of wind down in the evening or afternoon after they've done dinner. And, you know, the children my daughter's done homework and bath, and it's just a nice way to wind down after a busy day. I find it extremely soothing. Great gifts, and it's something special that you've taken the time to make. You know, I think it's more meaningful too. And then during that downtime, you've not wasted time. You've actually done something that's productive. It hasn't been fine-tuned, so I'll keep it. If it looks really good, then I'll give it away.
Caroline Hargis has similar feelings, and she says the sensory appeal of knitting sometimes even makes its way into her dreams.
Well, most of what I make I give away, and so that's...
It looked cute, though, in beige.
The gift of giving, I guess, is therapy. And as Sharon said, it's cheaper than a psychiatrist. And we all have these boxes of yarn.
or, like, trunks.
Or trunks, you know, because we just... If people are tactile, you know, you look at this and think, oh, my gosh, that just makes you happy.
The walls of yarn, yeah.
And the colors. One day I came in here and I said, I had a dream last night, to tell Stephanie, that I got locked in here and I fell asleep. And I was sleeping on the floor looking at all this colored yarn.
As a beginning knitter myself, I can see how they've developed such a love for yarn. With all the textures and widths and degrees of thickness, you can look around the store and easily remember that it wasn't too long ago that these strands were growing on an alpaca or a sheep. And these days, yarn is also spun from bamboo, even corn, and a host of other living materials. Owner Stephanie Bates also carries unspun fibers for her customers who spin their own. Sometimes knitting is a solitary activity, they explain, especially if you're working on a particularly hard pattern. But sometimes the experience is strengthened by the presence of others.
Part of that is the camaraderie of other women and talking about everything, you know, politics or science or...
Yeah, or teaching or nursing, whatever, you know.
We told our pregnant lady that she could probably have her baby here because there's about five or six of us nurses.
And we're all good friends, and we learn from each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, you taught me how to cast on and do all that. She taught me how to.
I like that. I think it's
sometimes we
important.
Just sit here and don't even knit.
Oh, yeah.
We just talk.
Right. Especially if you've had a, you know, not a good day. You always, I think you, when I leave here, I always feel good after I leave here. I'm like, oh, I feel great. That was really a great.
I always go home.
Me too. Always.
Producing out of Central Arkansas for Ozarks at Large, my name is Meredith Martin-Mutz.